All righty. That gave me some time to get some tea. I'm helping out at camp this weekend also. We have a full camp of high schoolers. And so second service, we'll have an additional 45 people in here. It's going to be packed. But the tea will help my throat a little bit. Hey, I want to thank those of you who came out last night to support us in the Living Nativity. It was a wonderful time of sharing the gospel, the good news, the great news of Jesus, retelling the account of his birth through scripture, song, and drama, of course. And we were able to share a little message about peace on earth, only possible through Jesus Christ. I'm going to reiterate that a bit today in this sermon, which I've entitled Peace on Earth. But again, great to have those of you who were able to just be a smiling face to us and encourage us. And with four Sundays here in December, I'm going to present, of course, four messages of Christmas. And this is the first of course, the four. And we'll mostly be in Luke chapter 2. I'll touch upon Romans 5, Ephesians 4, Revelation 6 and 21. But for the most part, it's going to branch off from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to go there myself now. Hey, thanks to Joe there, who's doing double duty today, as helping us out. Joe, thanks for being there at the front door and also just doing all those tasks. So I really appreciate that. Hey, you know, I was thinking about this. Shortly after our last bite of pumpkin pie, which kind of officially ends our Thanksgiving, our humble, gentle national holiday of Thanksgiving, we're swept up almost immediately into the raging river of Christmas. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday, a month of sales and deals and no payments till July. And before you can say Adeste Fidelis, it's over. It just happens that fast. When I was younger, I could probably say this. When we were kids, it seems like it took forever for Christmas to arrive. We went from Thanksgiving crafts and stories in school, and we transitioned to Christmas crafts and stories, and we began this countdown to the days leading up until Christmas with great anticipation, preparation, and expectation leading up to the big day. And I'll tell you, for me, it seemed like it took 3 months to get through those 4 weeks. The same was true, but even to a greater degree, for that first Christmas day in Bethlehem. Preparations, you could say, had been underway for thousands of years. And the countdown began shortly after that first bite of forbidden fruit pie, I guess I'll say that. As we read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, as Jesus, of course, as God, made it clear to Adam and Eve that they could eat of any fruit in the garden, of course, but of the tree in the midst of the garden they should not eat, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day they eat of it, they would surely die. And of course, the rest is history. Eve, tempted by the serpent, by the devil, takes of the fruit and eats. She gives it to Adam. He eats. And again, the steamroller of sin enters the human race. Death, destruction, deception, drug abuse, violence, everything you can imagine is set into motion. The woman responds to God after he says, "Where are you?" The woman says, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." So again, it seems like the serpent was an upright creature at first, but now he's cursed. And he'll go on his belly. And then God says to Satan, "I'll put enmity, conflict, constant strife between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Now, that verse is often called the Proto-Evangelium. It's the first mention of the gospel. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall, actually the word is crush your head. You shall bruise his heel. Now, this does testify to the perpetual strife between, again, Satan and mankind, but it also foreshadows Jesus, born of a woman, the seed of the woman. Again, we think, well, the woman doesn't have a seed. The man has that. This is a foreshadowing of the fact that Mary would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. She would be a virgin. And that seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, would crush Satan's head. He would bruise his heel, of course. It was a great bruising. Crucifixion was more than a bruise that we think of. But again, Jesus Christ crushing ultimately the head of Satan, as we read in Revelation chapter 20. Even in the midst of the curse that God puts on this, we can see God's grace, this bringing of salvation. And from then on, from this moment on, the hoping, the waiting, the preparation, the expectation for the Savior of the world begins. And it was quite a buildup to the miracle of that first Christmas day, as the Jews awaited the long-coming, awaited Messiah. We call it Advent, which means the coming. We prepare ourselves every year. And Christmas serves as kind of an anchor, I think, for our tumultuous year. As come what may, we look forward to that moment where we gather here in this church and in other places. We consider the miracle of that first Christmas day. Fast forward a few thousand years. God tells Moses, Moses, I will raise up for them, for the Jews, the Israelites, a prophet like you from among your brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. That's Deuteronomy chapter 18, maybe 1,500 years or so before Jesus was born. So, the expectation, a prophet like you. Fast forward to 500 years from there, and we have David, maybe 1,000 years before Christ. God speaks to David and says, when your days are fulfilled, and you lie down with your fathers, I'll raise up your offspring after you, or who shall come from your body. Again, Mary and Joseph, both of the lineage of David. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Fast forward maybe 300 years to the prophet Isaiah. 700 BC, Isaiah says to King Uzziah, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Going on from there, Isaiah writes, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who walked in the land of the shadow of death, a light has shone. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name, again, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Great anticipation of this Messiah that would come. So when the day finally did arrive, there was cause for great celebration in heaven and in earth, I will say. For this was no ordinary child. This was God with us, God incarnate coming to earth. We read this, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away quietly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Kind of like when I was born, and very early on, my mother said, this boy's going to be trouble. You know, well, they didn't call me trouble, of course, all my life. I had a name, Anthony Tony. And in the same way, they knew Jesus, that in him, God was with us. They didn't call him Emmanuel, call him Jesus, Yeshua. God saves, God is salvation. But God was with us. And 2,000 years later, God is still with us. As we are under the new covenant of grace, faith in Jesus Christ, and that new covenant is superior to the old covenant. Jeremiah wrote about it. He said, the days are coming, says the Lord. This is about 600 BC. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that it took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant, the new covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. But they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will not remember. Now, that brings us a sense of peace when we think about that. That the Lord is not keeping a record of our sins any longer. And because of that, we have a sense of peace, a calmness in our soul, a cleanness in our soul, having entered into this new covenant through faith in Jesus Christ. Last night at the Living Nativity, we focused on this peace that only Jesus brings, that we can't find anywhere else. And our text was from Luke chapter 2. And oftentimes it's called the Christmas story. And I'd like to read it one more time if we could. Today is the big heavy hitters, Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. So if you could go there, I'm going to read the first 20 verses. And by having done that, we will have read really the fullness of that first Christmas. It goes like this. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed. This took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered or taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, or the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And again, who also was of the house and lineage of David. Verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Can we use that one? There you go. I outlasted the microphone. That's good. There we go. I got to back up here for a sec. Let's see. Let's go to verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'm going to stop there for the sake of our time today. This is interesting. As the angel says, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men. Last night, we had to ask ourselves, where was the peace? on that first Christmas day. Because we knew you couldn't find it on the battlefields of Rome. You wouldn't find it in the Colosseum, in the Roman Colosseum. There was great entertainment going on there between men and beasts. You couldn't even find it in Jerusalem, Yerushalom, the city of peace. And we had to ask ourselves, well, where's the peace today? Well, we can't find it in Ukraine. We can't find it in Israel, Ireland, France, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Chicago, or San Diego. You can't find it on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, X. You can't even find it on the Julian Connection. There's not a lot of peace there. You certainly won't find it on our college campuses. And it seems like there's no place where peace can be found. And if we said that, if we concluded that, you'd be absolutely right. Peace cannot be found in a place or a pill or a piña colada or, as we said last night, a political party, a pretty woman, a perfect gentleman, a paleo diet, or riding on a Peloton. You cannot find peace in those things. Peace, true peace, peace on earth, as we know, is only found in Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus. In John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, we read that Jesus not only is peace embodied, but he's able to impart peace, his own peace, to others. And this happens shortly before Jesus is going to go to the cross. He gathers his disciples together, and he gives them a bit of a pep talk. And this is in, again, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. Jesus says this: "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives peace, not the Pax Romana, the peace that comes from terror and fear." He says, "I don't give you that peace. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." So Jesus gives them peace before going to the cross. He knows they're going to see this turmoil, this terrible trauma and suffering. But he says, "I'm going to give you this peace." Then immediately following his resurrection, he doubles down on peace. He gives them it again. The same day at evening, this is in John chapter 20, verse 19. The same day at evening, beginning the first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So we know the only way there was peace on earth that day 2,000 years ago is because Jesus Christ, God incarnate, came to earth. There was peace on earth. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of the world, whom again the prophet Isaiah called the Prince of Peace, had come. So Jesus Christ is our peace. He's peace embodied. He's the only one that can make peace between God and man possible. That's why Jesus said, not as the world gives, not a temporary feeling of tranquility or the absence of conflict or disturbance. He says, no, I'm going to give you peace between God and man. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to go to the cross and pay for your sins, which has caused enmity, division, strife between you and God. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's Romans 5:1. As we place our faith in Jesus, he declares us not guilty. We're justified. Our sin has been dealt with, and we begin this peaceful relationship with God, both now and forever. That's what happens when we put our faith in Jesus. And that peace comes from knowing that I'm in a right standing with God, that my sins have been dealt with, and that his sacrificial substitutionary death on the cross was the payment for my sins. And his glorious resurrection was the assurance that I will rise again also. Now, once I put my faith in Christ Jesus, I'm literally filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He dwells with me. He comes upon me. He overflows me. And through the Holy Spirit, I experience peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. It gives me courage and confidence to preach the gospel, and it comes as a gift to me. The peace that we have is concrete. It's not, again, the peaceful, easy feeling, know that you won't let me down because I'm already standing on solid ground. It's not the Eagles kind of peace. Our peace is concrete. And it's the byproduct of the peace of God. The Apostle Paul, again, to the Ephesians says this, Jesus himself is our peace, having abolished in his flesh the enmity through the cross. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. That was the question last night I posed to those who were gathered. I said, are you one of those who are near or are you far? Did you grow up in a home that was religious, where you actually heard about Jesus Christ and you kind of esteem him, you admire him, but you've never come to know him as your Savior? Or are you far off? Do you just despise him? Do you hate to hear his name? Do you do everything you can to avoid him? Well, whether you're near or you're far, Jesus can bring you peace by putting your faith in him. That was the message. And that's true for all of us or anybody listening. If we've never put our faith in Christ Jesus, we have no peace. No Jesus, N-O, no Jesus, no peace. But then again, K-N-O-W, no Jesus, no peace. If you don't have Jesus in your life, there's no peace. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you know what peace is. And so I gave the opportunity to everybody that was there to pray. And I want to do the same today. I never know who's listening or watching. So I want to do that as we close in prayer. Let's pray that we'll have that peace. As Christians, we'll let that peace permeate from our very being. And if there's a person who's not a Christian, they can know the peace of God through a simple prayer. And I'm going to pray that now. So, Lord, we do thank you for the time you've given us, Lord, just the time to gather as the body of Christ to consider the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, the peace that guards our hearts and minds in a world that's gone mad. Lord, we can experience your peace because our peace is not dependent upon our strength, or our situation, or our social status, or our skin color. Lord Jesus, our peace is dependent upon surrendering to you. Lord Jesus, I know there are many, if not all, of us here in this church, this little building right now, that have surrendered to you, Jesus, and we can know your perfect peace. But Lord, if there's anybody listening, Lord, watching, that has never done that, I want to pray with them and for them right now. And so I encourage that person listening to pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I have rejected you, run from you, resisted you, but now I want to receive you, Lord Jesus. I want to receive you as my Savior. So I confess, Lord, that I have sinned, and my sin has gotten in the way of a relationship with you and I, and there is no peace between us. But I want to change that, Lord Jesus. I want to receive you, God. I open up my heart. I open up my hands. And I say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I believe in you. I have faith in you. I trust you, Jesus, that you are the Savior of the world, that your death on the cross paid for my sins. And I surrender to you now. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you would fill me with the peace that I have never known until this point. As you reside in my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, calm me, cleanse me, reassure me that you are my Savior and I'm your son. I'm your daughter now. And Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord Jesus, I would ask that all of us here now that do know you as our Savior would go forth to bring the gospel of peace to a world that only knows strife and violence and hopelessness and helplessness. God, help us to extend the good news of Jesus Christ, who made peace with God through the cross. Give us strength and courage, Lord. We ask that. And Lord, we do now also pray, Lord, for our offering, God, and it is an offering, Lord. We receive these offerings, God. They're given of our own free will, Lord Jesus, for the furtherance of your kingdom, both here in Julian and again to the farthest away places of Thailand, China, Brazil. We join with that work also, God, through these tithes and offerings. We ask you to bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. hey, as we receive that offering, I think that will go right into our announcements. And Ken, are you going to give those?
I'll try and say them in a musical way so that it'll sound like we have some music going on. All right, let's see. Thank you to cleaning crew number 4, the Swiffer Stallions. It's good to have names for these cleaning crews, and I like that one, the Swiffer Stallions, for preparing the church today. Thank you, everyone. Tony already said who came out yesterday for the Living Nativity. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend. Tony, for some unknown reason, scheduled it at the same time as the Michigan game. So, I don't know, kind of a mistake on his part there. Welcome, Camp Julian Oak counselors. Stay over and welcome them later. Let's see. Stop by in the back. We have 2 special Christmas devotionals, O Holy Night, The Carols of Christmas, and Joy to the World. So, both of those are available in the back. Please pick those up and take those with you. You can start bringing your Christmas cards, putting them in our Christmas box in the back there, and those are for our church family. So if you have Christmas cards for people who are here in the church, you can bring them. Don't bring them for people in Ohio or Cleveland, that's in Ohio, or any of those places out there, any of those bad places, don't bring them for that. Let's see, we're 1 week away from Koinonia Christmas Spectacular. Please join us next Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m., a mandatory rehearsal preview for all those who plan to share their gifts will be held today after the services, so remember that. Let's see, there was also a little thing here. If you have a gift to share that is not a performance, perhaps you write poetry or you have artwork or you bake cookies or brownies or any or blondies. I'm staring at Jessica there. Please let Lacey know and we will have a table. If you bring brownies or blondies or chocolate chip cookies, it's this table right here. If you bring some other type of baked good, it'll be a table in the back. But please remember that as well. Perhaps you're embarrassed to stand up in front of people like I am. And you have some other talent that you can bring a gift, then please plan on doing that. The 2024 Hillside Directory is ready. I was expecting an explosion of excitement. Please take only one per family. There's a sign-up sheet back there, or a sign-in sheet, or whatever, some sort of sheet. Sign that paper once you get yours so we'll know that you've gotten it. Men's Bible study will resume on January the 4th for our winter study, so men, remember that. And Ahava Ministries in Africa is in need of financial support for rebuilding a security wall on their property. There is a flyer announcement on the back table there. Please look at that, and if you want to give towards that need, there are instructions on how you can do that. I think that's all the announcements, so Tony's got one more.
There are quite a few sign-up sheets back there. If you plan on attending the Koinonia Christmas, please let us know how many people will be coming with you. We want to make sure we have an adequate amount of food. Also, if you'd like to help with setup or cleaning or serving, please indicate that also. And finally, again, if you have a performance, there are 2 time windows to, I don't want to say audition, but to give us a preview of what you're going to do to make sure it's God-honoring. That'll be after service today and also after second service. So those of you who are preparing, this is your moment to give a little preview. We don't want you to give it all away. We don't want you to do the whole act, but just show us at least a taste of what it's all about. So with that, Ken, back to you.
All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today, for the good service. Lord, we thank you for this Christmas season. In which we think in a special way about your coming to earth in human form to live a sinless life and eventually die for us. Lord, we ask that you'd bless us now as we go our separate ways. Use us in your service this week and bring us back safely next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Are dismissed.